south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came up to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, before I start today, let me remind you that my Expat's Guide to Latin American Healthcare has been revised, edited, and added to a bit, and now it's about 100 pages in PDF form. So I advise you all to get a copy of that while it's still free. And believe me, I've had people in the media telling me that I'm nuts for giving such an unusual and well-researched report like that for free. But I promised, at least for now, it will be free. Now, all of you ladies and gents who are already signed up at the Expat Wisdom website, you already got a notification that the new version of the report's available, for free, of course. But for any of you who have not picked it up yet, just go to expatwisdom.com, go to the right side of the main page, stick your email address in there, and you'll get that report sent to you right away. And if somehow that's not working for you, just send me an email at theexpatfiles@gmail.com or johnny@expatwisdom.com, and I'll send you a link. Now let's talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts regarding certain common Latin American social customs, so pay attention. Now it's obvious that once you're immersed in a brand new culture, you don't want to be sticking your foot in your mouth every time you get invited to a Latin person's house for dinner. But the thing is, all of us first worlders and gringos will commit social faux pas now and again, and we won't even know it, since we are immersed in a completely different culture with different social norms. And you have to be down here a long, long time before you figure most of them out, since many of them are very subtle. So if you're a new, fresh gringo down here stumbling through paradise, you just have to hope that your own social gaffes aren't that serious. And you gotta know that the gringo advantage is in full swing when you realize that you committed a gaffe or two, sometimes even serious ones, and the Latins just let it slide. And I'm not saying they won't be talking about how you slipped up once you've exited the house or left the party, but they'll never bring it up to your face, because Latins would never want to jeopardize their friendship with a first world gringo. Then again, there's a limit on how far you can push that too, which is why in some places in Latin America, sweaty, greasy-haired, bug-infested gringo backpackers doing Latin America on $5 a day, leaving a trail of biodegradable water bottles, granola bars, and trail mix wrappers in their wake. Well, ultra-low-rent visitors like that are occasionally frowned upon, especially when they travel in herds. But get this, you could be down here for years and Latins are so polite that you'll never know who you might be offending. In a social context, that is. And that's especially true when you're off the gringo tourist trail, where there's just not too many of us around at all. Whereas when you're on the high-volume tourist trail, there's just so many gringos and first-world people around, the locals are already conditioned to our eccentricities and eyeball ways that might conflict with their ways, which might seem a bit nutty or even offensive to us, too. And another thing, when you're on the gringo tourist trail, like Costa Rica, Panama, Rio, etc., the locals cut us a huge amount of slack. And it's not because they like and appreciate us gringos for our first world sensibilities, knowledge and culture, etc. The truth is, they cut us a lot of social slack simply because their whole economy depends on the gringo dollar. Which I know is a pretty sad and superficial way of looking at things, but it's the truth. The fact is, most of us will put up with a lot of grief as long as the money's right. And if you're the idealistic sort and don't think that's true, how many times have you worked for a boss you just couldn't stand, but you put up with it because you needed the money? Anyway, now let's talk about some of those gringo social blunders that you should look out for. Now, even though when you first get down here, you notice there's an awful lot of kissing going on. I mean to say, anytime you meet someone, whether in a casual or business sense, that's when the flurry of greeting kisses begins. I'm talking about the obligatory cheek pecks. Now, of course, the greeting kiss involves men and women, or women and women, but never men and men. And that's something that always throws us gringos off at first. Now, I know I mentioned this part in a show a long, long time ago. I mentioned when you meet a Latin for the very first time, you don't go ahead with the cheek peck. The marathon cheek pecks only commence after you've made their official acquaintance, which means the next time you meet someone at a shopping mall or wherever, that person probably will dip in for that little peck. And if you stiffen up and don't oblige, it'll make for an awkward moment, but it'll pass. And don't be surprised if you feel a little coldness there. Now, it doesn't take long to get used to the cheek-pecking thing. Most gringo women settle right in after a day or two. And gringo men could be a month or so before it becomes second nature. It's no big deal, and you'll have it down in no time. But here's what I didn't find out until I was down here for many, many years. You never kiss a man or a woman on the lips unless it's your husband, wife, boyfriend, or girlfriend. That means you don't kiss your mom, your dad, your brothers or sisters, or your kids on the lips. Not when you're down here in Latin America. That's a big no-no. Which hardly makes sense, but that's the way it is. I mean, with all the kissing and touchy-feely stuff and diminished personal space going on around here, who'd have thought a quick peck on the lips, even between brothers and sisters or kids, would cause so much furor? Well, let me tell you, it does. And how did I find this out? Well, like I said so many times before, Latins are addicted to first world cable TV. And when they see North American first world families on TV kissing on the lips, well, little do us clueless gringos know, but that really turns off Latins. And many of them are actually pretty disgusted by it. And no matter how long you live down here, you might never find that out. But you know it now, so beware. Anyway, a lot of people from up in the States oftentimes kiss their immediate family members on the lips as a greeting, especially if they haven't seen them in a long time or if they're going away on a trip. In fact, it's probably true for the majority of first world families. Siblings give each other a peck, and mothers give their kids pecks, and vice versa. But like I said, down here in Latin America, it's just never done. Latins have a subtle inner revulsion to that. They're actually disturbed somewhat when they see it. In fact, when I met up with my own mother and sisters some months ago in Roatan, my own Latina girlfriend quizzed me after that meeting as to why, at the airport when I met my mom, for the first time in like 3 years, she gave me a little peck on the lips, and so did my two sisters. And that's pretty much the way things go down all the time with my family, and pretty much every other family I know up in Chicago. But my Latina girlfriend made a big point of asking me about it later. She had this surprised look on her face, and she said, "How come you kiss them on the lips?" In Spanish, of course. And I had to go through a big explanation why North Americans occasionally kiss their immediate family members on the lips. Just a little peck now, of course. Exactly like those little pecks that Latins give each other on the cheeks when they greet. But she still didn't like my explanation much. Now, the thing is, and remember this, if you're down here in Latin America and have a Latina girlfriend, or ladies, a Latino boyfriend, don't you ever kiss another Latino or Latina, even a little baby, on the lips, or you're going to be in the doghouse later. And funny enough, you might not even know why you're in the doghouse, because your girlfriend or boyfriend might not explain it to you. They'll just give you the cold shoulder for a half a day. And believe me, I can't tell you how many times I've heard my gringo friend say, "You know, I'm in the doghouse again," but she won't tell me why. And that's because when you commit a social gaffe in Latin America in front of your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife, oftentimes you'll get the icy look or the cold shoulder without an explanation at all. And even when you ask or even try to pry it out of your so-called better half, oftentimes you'll just get no response. But then you might say, "What about those fiery Latin tempers you hear so much about?" Well, it's like this. If you're in the doghouse for whatever reason, I'm talking about gringo and gringa expats now, of course, and your Latin partner's pissed off, giving you the cold shoulder, and is on a kind of a slow burn, well, keep this in mind. Many long-term gringos and expats swear it's best to leave it that way, at least for the time being. And don't push too hard at that moment to try to talk things out. Because you see, thinking logically at that moment to resolve things often backfires. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. Now, even if you're totally in the right yourself, believe it or not, at that moment when your partner is in that slow burn, it's best to do nothing. Logic will not work, so don't even try. Because the fact is, when your partner's in that slow burn stage, just a little shove and suddenly you've ignited that fiery Latin temper you've heard so much about. Then, believe me, you've really got trouble on your hands. That's when things can get physical. When dishes and pots and pans can go flying, if you know what I mean. Which is why it's often best in the moment to let some hours pass or even wait till the next day and then bring this subject up and talk it out. Because it does take some hours for a slow burn to cool. Then, when cooler heads prevail, That's when you start using logic. Now, when wannabes and gringos ask me how bad that jealousy gene is down here, I like to tell a story about expat Eddie's last girlfriend. One day, he told me in all seriousness that his girlfriend had been mad at him for about 2 days. All because one night, she had a dream that Eddie was cheating on her. Remember, we're not talking reality, we're talking about her dreams now. But that didn't matter, she still gave him the cold shoulder for 2 days. So that's one of the things gringos and gringas learn right away when they get into a relationship down here with a Latino or Latina. Extreme jealousy is considered natural, and we're supposed to be infected with it too. And sure, first world people up in the States and Canada get jealous too. But with Latins, jealousy is at a whole different level. And know this, down here, Latins equate jealousy with love. So what's that all about? Well, I know this is going to sound strange, but believe me, if you're in a relationship and you don't occasionally show that you're jealous, your Latino or Latina partner will think that you've fallen out of love. Now, I've heard this from a lot of gringos, believe me. And even when you explain to your partner that up north in the first world, jealousy does not equal love, that in fact up north, jealousy is considered kind of a defect, well, you won't get anywhere down here with that argument. That's when you'll run into a cultural brick wall that you'll never break through. So just keep in mind that if you're in a relationship down here, you're gonna have that discussion someday. Oh, and here's another thing you gringo males should know if you get into a Latina relationship. Here's a real good piece of advice. Try your best not to get into a lover spat while you're in the car. And by the way, you'll find that in lover spats, logic almost never prevails. A lot of talk on your part could make things worse. Don't think you're going to win those kind of battles with facts. Anyway, don't get into a lover's spat in a car. And why the warning? Every single gringo male who's hooked up with a Latina will tell you that at one time or another, the wife or girlfriend got into one of those Latin rages and just whipped open the car door and ran out. And it didn't matter if the car was moving or not, and it didn't matter if it was in a great area town or the dirtiest, crappiest section of the whole country. At that moment, in her rage, she's not conscious of any of that. And man, I can tell you that's when things get scary. In fact, I was sitting in the back seat of expat Eddie's car one day when his girlfriend pulled one of those. And she jumped out of the car in a pretty trashy neighborhood, and she just took off in her miniskirt and low-cut blouse, disappearing into the low-class street crowd in 2 seconds. And let me tell you, I never saw such panic on Eddie's face. We couldn't just stop the car and get out. There was no parking anywhere. And Eddie tried her cell phone about 10 times and she wouldn't answer, naturally. So, gringo guys and gals, remember what I said about that Latin jealousy gene. And by the way, for you ladies out there, of course a Latin husband or boyfriend won't jump out of the car when he goes into his Latin jealousy rage. Instead, he's more than likely just gonna hit you. Like I said in a past show, I've never once met a Latin woman, old or young, that hasn't been beaten on occasion by a Latin boyfriend or husband. That's what happens when the men go into their jealous rages. So once again, for you gringa expat wannabes up there who are thinking of coming down and hooking up with your very own personal Antonio Banderas, and believe me, there's a ton of them down here waiting to hook up with you too. Anyway, just remember, nearly all of these guys have a dark side, and it's called jealousy. But speaking again of Latina women and gringos, I've had plenty of gringo friends who have told me that during one of those little fights in the car, the wife or girlfriend jumped out, even though she was the one who was driving. In other words, she just left the poor gringo sitting in the passenger seat with the car running while she jumped out and disappeared, leaving the car door wide open. Now, you might be wondering, since I've been down here more than 20 years now, has an incident like that ever happened to me? Well, I can tell you, I've had a few close calls, as have so many of my gringo friends. That means we were able to grab an arm or a leg before she made it out the door. Now, of course, I'm not saying that that happens with great frequency. I'd say for me, that's happened maybe 3 times in the 20-some years I've been down here. Though I have to say, every few months or so, I'm an eyewitness to such an event involving a battle between a couple I don't even know. You know what I mean. You're at a stoplight or you're driving down the road and you see the car door next to you or in front of you open and a pissed off woman jump out. And here's something interesting. When a Latin woman's in a fit of irrational rage like that, I've had some expat guys tell me, in the moment when it's happening and she's jumping out that door, some of these guys in that second think, I should just let her go. Good riddance. Get the hell out. Which, believe me, in the heat of the moment is never a good idea. So anyway, back to that original warning I'm giving you gringos and gringas, not to kiss anyone but your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife on the lips. And even if you slip and kiss a small kid or your grandma, get ready for the 20 question bit, for sure. So just keep that in mind and don't fall for it. Of course, if some of your immediate family are down from the States, for example, and they dive in and try to give you a little peck on your lips, I mean, how are they supposed to know it's not the thing to do, right? Anyway, your Latin boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife will definitely have to accept that, but you're still going to get the evil eye, or at least, like I said, some questions when they're out of the room and it's all over. Now, of course, the irony of all this is, multiple kissing rounds are A-OK as long as it's a peck on the cheek. Lips are reserved for married people, boyfriends, girlfriends, and mistresses. And by the way, I never quite understood the word mistress. It doesn't seem to have a male counterpart. You know, a guy can have a mistress or two. But when a girl or a lady has a secret male lover on the side, what do you call him? Now, some might say the word is gigolo or the word cuckold, but they're not quite the same. Now, you know what expat Eddie calls a guy like that? Lucky. Just a joke there. Enough said about that. Now, you know, since my last Expat Wisdom seminar in late June, I've had lots and lots of people go to the expatwisdom.com website and download that little 10-minute slideshow that two of the attendees, Dean and Heather, put together on their own. And that slideshow gives you a pretty good idea what the boots-on-the-ground portion of the seminar was all about. And since then, I've been getting quite a few emails from people asking me if there might be an accompanying audio narrative of that slideshow, explaining some of those great photos and locations. Well, in lieu of that, I thought now it would be a good idea to hear about what that seminar was like in the words of a skeptical expat wannabe who signed on to the seminar at the very last minute. And I think you're not only going to find this interesting, but amusing too. So, here goes. Now I'd like to introduce a new friend of mine, Bill. Let's hear what he has to say about his experience down here off the tourist trail after having his boots on the ground. Okay, Bill, first give us your name, what you do, a little about your background, and an alias last name, if you like.
Okay, well, my name's Bill. I'm from Sheffield Village, Ohio. That's 25 miles west of, guess where? Cleveland. I'm not an expat wannabe, I'm an expat gonna be.
Okay, now that we got your future plans straight, if I recall, you're a retired Midwestern farmer, right? And how old did you say you were?
I'm 53 years old and looking for a place to relocate, trying to find my place in paradise.
But Bill, of all the places in the world, then what made you look into Latin America as a possible place to retire, relocate, have a second home, start a new business, or just explore and hang out?
Well, it always was kind of on my list because of the climate. I was considering the Philippines, Thailand, Malaysia. There were a lot of possibilities. The price difference and the cost of things here is one of the big factors that causes a basis for decision.
So, Bill, what other efforts have you made to learn about possibly becoming an expat in Latin America? Before you came down to the seminar, of course.
Well, you run into people and you make an effort to put it on your mental list. So these are the people I need to contact and see what they've done. And I hadn't really followed through on any of it. And when I heard about this seminar, I thought to myself, this could be the way to go. That's part of why I decided to go ahead with it.
So, Bill, how would you compare my seminar with some of the other seminars and information that you get from sites that talk about expat life, like, for example, International Living, or any of those other expat retirement sites?
Well, it seems to be very, very true what Johnny says about expat living and these other international living type things. They are trying to sell you something and steer you to an area that's already peaked as far as its value to an expat, whereas where Johnny's steering a person to, it's wide open. It's a place to be. The guy doesn't lie.
Well, thanks for that, Bill, but occasionally I do tell a white lie or two, in the cause of diplomacy, of course, when it's necessary to spare someone's feelings, you know. Like when I tell my 82-year-old mother she looks 50, or when I compliment someone's horrible cooking, you know what I mean. Anyway, Bill, now that you've been through our little expat adventure, what would you say was the best part of the experience for you?
Well, I tell you, the best thing about it was the other people in the seminar, getting to meet people with similar interests, and what a cross-section of America, actually all around the world, that attends the seminar. These are some of the neatest people you'll ever meet, and you'll feel a bond with them in a week that you just don't make anywhere else. That was the best part.
Okay, Bill, anything else that impressed you like that?
The information that you gain is more than you expect, more than I expected anyhow. It's overload for me, which is not a complaint. The fact that it's set up where in the morning it's a seminar session and the afternoon is like a road trip, it's an adventure and it's exciting, way more than a person would expect.
So, Bill, would you recommend this seminar to like-minded friends and acquaintances of yours that might be interested in becoming expats themselves? You know, people who are on the fence and just need a little guidance or a shove?
Personally, I would recommend this seminar to anyone, and even those of you that can't afford it, take out a loan. The value of the seminar, Johnny likened it to being here for 2 years. You could learn what you learn in the seminar. I think you'd have to be here 5 years to pick up that much.
Okay, now, this might seem like an obvious question, but if someone said to you, Bill, you just came back from Latin America, off the pampered gringo tourist trail, no less. What was that all about?
It was about how to live and get around down here, what you need to know, what not to be afraid of, what to watch out for, how to handle yourself while you're here, legally, financially, physically while you're on the streets, basically a guide to what it's like and how good it can be.
Now, you know, Bill, when I have these seminars, seems like every single person that comes down later sends me an email or Skypes me telling me about a funny or unusual story that happened to him while they were down here. Did you have a story like that too?
As a matter of fact, Johnny, I did. You know, I'm not real computer fluent. Didn't really know about paying for it, the PayPal thing. So I had asked you, you know, can I bring cash? And you said, yeah, sure. You can just give it to Jose at the airport. And I thought, you know, this could be a scam. I did every kind of research, Google and check who's Johnny Mueller, who's this, what's going on.
You mean to make sure I wasn't dishonest John, right? I guess I'm showing my age there now too, huh? Now, Bill, it's time to explain who Jose is and why I'd trust him with the money. Go ahead.
Jose's a seminar lawyer, the bilingual lawyer. The number one thing you want to learn to get yourself when you get down here is a lawyer that's bilingual. One you can trust. So anyhow, I get to the airport. At first I told Johnny, I don't know about paying Jose at the airport because all he's got to do is say, well, you gave your $2,000 to the wrong Jose. So anyhow, Johnny met me at the airport, but I didn't know what Johnny looked like. And this guy meets me at the airport, and we get to the hotel, and it finally dawns on me, the voice sure sounds like the podcast. It's Johnny.
Yeah, Bill, I figured I'd meet you personally down at the airport since... You're right, there's got to be 50 Jose's wandering around down there. I mean, after all, Jose means Joe in English, right? And just like in the States, every big city has a million Joes, not to mention Johnnies. Yeah, and speaking of Jose, our seminar lawyer, you know, I'm not the only one who gives a lecture part of the seminar. We've got Jose, our expert legal eagle, who I've known for over 15 years. He's always my number one recommendation for anyone who needs a Latin lawyer. Not to mention, he teaches copyright, patent, and intellectual property law at a big, prestigious private university here. So he's not only smart, he's very well connected. A guy like that is someone every gringo needs to hook up with. And believe me, few gringos are lucky enough to do so. I'm sure you've heard the stories about gringos being ripped off by their own lawyers, especially on the tourist trail like in Costa Rica. I can tell you a few dozen stories like that myself. And you should know this. As I've been told many times by past seminar attendees, just hooking up future expats with Jose was worth more than twice the price of the seminar, which kind of makes me chop liver, right? But Jose's not the only one that gives more than a few lectures at the seminar. So does our IT specialist, Mauricio. Now, he's an IT graphics and animation specialist so talented that Walt Disney and Pixar from Hollywood, USA... hired him to outsource some of their biggest movie animation sequences to do down here at their studios in Latin America. And get this, he and his animation crew were nominated for an Academy Award for The Chronicles of Narnia. Anyway, Bill, why don't you give me your impression of Jose and Mauricio?
These guys are top shelf. As a matter of fact, I've retained Jose myself. And Mauricio, he's a guy who learned English from watching television, but you couldn't tell by talking to him.
So it's perfectly logical why he ended up in TV and movie animations, right? But Bill, is there anyone else you met down here that you might want to mention because they made a strong impression on you?
There's an individual down here who goes by E, who's a real special individual, too. And if you take the seminar, you'll find out about E, too. So we'll leave that as a mystery, and only for those privileged enough to attend the seminar will they know anything about that.
Now, Bill, like you mentioned before, each seminar afternoon is like a field trip, and we hit the ground running. Of all those little side trips, were any of those places we visited particularly interesting or special for you?
Well, we actually spent a couple days in the city of Antigua, and there's a coffee plantation there that was really neat. There's a couple of factories. I was amazed. The hospital is nicer than the hospital back home in Elyria, Ohio. It's just an eye-opener to realize that things are as good or better here than they are in the States at about a tenth of the cost.
All right, Bill, that should about do it. I don't want to put you on the spot anymore, and thanks again. And you know, this little interview we're doing with Bill right now, it's not by Mumble or Skype or even by phone. Bill's actually down here again, right, Bill?
So good, you just can't keep me away.
So, folks, let me tell you that Bill is one of the high percentage of attendees that found Latin America so to their liking that they're back down here again, checking it out for themselves. And in this case, Bill's down here with his fiancée in tow just 2 months after the seminar. Now, he's the one that's showing her the benefits of the expat lifestyle off the tourist trail in Latin America. Now that Bill's had his boots on the ground, he's her guide. Hope he doesn't start doing seminars now. So once again, Bill, thanks for coming down and thanks for the interview.
Absolutely, Johnny. You're very welcome. The pleasure's all mine.
So anyway, all of you that have sent me emails wondering what the last seminar was really like from the viewpoint of a previously skeptical attendee, well, there you have it. Enough said about that. Except to say, if you're interested in attending my next Expat Wisdom Seminar, which will be coming up in a little over 3 months, starting Saturday, January 18th, just send me an email, johnny@expatwisdom.com or theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll keep you posted.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture.